Hey, in this week's lesson, I'm going to teach you 7 English expressions, how to decode them, how to use them, and how to sound like a native English speaker when you use them. Are you ready? Well then, I'm Teacher Tiffany. Let's jump right in. The very first expression that I need you to understand is cut to the chase. Good. One more time after me. Cut to the chase. Excellent. Now, this is an expression that native English speakers use all the time. It literally just means to get to the main point or important part without wasting time. Think about it. I started this lesson off very quickly, telling you what I'm going to teach you, and then we jumped right in. Why? Because I wanted to cut to the chase. I didn't want to waste any time. I wanted to get to the main point. Make sense? Excellent. All right. Now check out these example sentences. Sentence number 1. Let's cut to the chase and discuss the key issues. You got it? Excellent. All right. Sentence number 2. I don't have much time, so please cut to the chase. This is an expression you can start using today. An expression that lets the person listening to you realize, let me just give them the main point, the main idea, because they are in a rush, right? You got it? All right, here we go. Sentence number 3. Instead of small talk, he preferred to cut to the chase in conversations. He didn't do a lot of small talk. He really liked to get to the main point, to cut to the chase. Yes, you are getting it. All right, we're going to move on to expression number 2. I don't want you to forget, though, as you're learning these expressions, I don't want you to forget to practice what you're learning after this lesson. So download the English with Tiffany app. Totally for free. The link is in the description, or you can go to your Google Play Store or Apple Store. English with Tiffany, and you'll find the lesson for today. All right, so let's go to expression number 2. The expression is go the extra mile. Yes, again, go the extra mile. Great job. Now, this just means to make an additional effort or put in extra work beyond what is expected. You want to do more. You want to give 110% instead of just 100%. You want to work hard. For example, I am passionate about helping you this year achieve your English goal. So you've probably noticed that I'm not just doing the YouTube lessons. I'm now doing the live monthly English lessons. I'm also doing more on Facebook, more on Instagram. Why? I'm trying to go the extra mile to help you achieve your English goal. Makes sense now, right? I love it. All right, here we go. Here's the first example sentence. She always goes the extra mile to help her colleagues with their projects. Sentence number 2. The company is known for its exceptional customer service because they always go the extra mile. And finally, sentence number 3. Going the extra mile often leads to great success and recognition. Man, for you as an English learner, this is so true. Go the extra mile this year. You want to achieve your English goal? Put in extra effort, and I guarantee you will experience success. Go the extra mile. All right, here we go. Let's move on to expression number 3. The third expression I want you to understand is have a change of heart. Good. Again, have a change of heart. Excellent. Now, this literally just means to change one's opinion, attitude, or decision about something. You had one idea, one specific opinion, and then all of a sudden, you change that idea. You change that opinion. For example, let's say you normally love to eat chocolate ice cream. No matter where you are, if someone has ice cream, you always choose chocolate ice cream. But then, somebody introduces you into mint chocolate chip ice cream. And you say, I'll just taste it. You taste it and, oh my goodness, it hits the spot. It tastes so good. All of a sudden, you have a change of heart. Now moving forward, instead of chocolate, you'll choose mint chocolate chip. You got it? Again, changed your opinion, your attitude, or decision. I used to only like chocolate. Now I like mint chocolate chip. You got it. All right, here we go. First example sentence. He initially declined the offer, but later had a change of heart and accepted it. Next, sentence number two. After his experience, she had a change of heart about her career path. She learned from her friend's experience and said, "Ooh, no, I have a change of heart about my own path." And finally, sentence number three. Her recent trip made her have a change of heart about traveling alone. You got it? Excellent. All right, let's move on to expression number four. Expression number four is be in hot water. Good. Again, be in hot water. Great job. Now, this expression, be in hot water, it literally just means to be in trouble or facing a difficult situation due to one's actions. It's a result of something you did, a consequence, not a good consequence, not a good effect. Something that is causing you to face trouble or difficulties. Be in hot water. Two little boys. Their mother told them, "Do not play in the kitchen while I am gone. I have food on the stove and I don't want you guys to do anything to mess up dinner." "Okay, Mom." They said, "Yes, we won't go in the kitchen." But you know how kids are. Mom had been away for about 30 minutes. The eldest brother said to his younger brother, "Come on, let's go in the kitchen, man. It's more fun in there." They ran into the kitchen. They were playing tag back and forth. And in the midst of playing tag, they hit the stove. And what happened? The pot with their dinner in it fell to the floor. The brothers looked at each other and said, "Uh-oh. We are going to be in hot water." You got it, because you know that mother's going to come home and they are going to be in trouble. Once again, be in hot water. To be in trouble or facing a difficult situation due to one's actions. All right, let's check out the example sentences. Here we go. Sentence number one. After missing the deadline, he found himself in hot water with his boss. Next, sentence number two. She knew she would be in hot water for neglecting her responsibilities. And sentence number three. Getting caught cheating in the exam landed him in hot water with the school authorities. Make sense? Excellent. So again, expression number four, be in hot water. All right, let's move on to expression number five, another expression that it's so important for you to know how to use. All right, bite off more than one can chew. Good. Again, bite off more than one can chew. Woo, excellent job. All right, what does this mean? It literally just means to take on a task or responsibility that is too big or difficult to manage. You are a hard worker. You do things well. But this time, you took on a project, a task that was more difficult than you realized. You had to stay late after work all this week, 2, 3, 4 extra hours a day because you bit off more than you can chew. You got it? Excellent. You bit off more than you could chew and you're realizing, oh my goodness, this is too much for me. Once again, bite off more than one can chew literally just means to take on a task or a responsibility that is too big or too difficult to manage. Make sense? Excellent. All right. Check out the first example sentence. Here we go. She bit off more than she could chew by accepting so many projects at once. Sentence number 2. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Don't take on too many tasks. Don't take on things that you can't handle. Don't bite off more than you can chew. And sentence number 3. Taking on that massive renovation project felt like biting off more than he could chew. Make sense? Excellent. All right. So now let's move on to expression number 6. Again, use these expressions starting today. Use them in your regular conversations. All right. Here we go. Burn the midnight oil. Excellent. Again, burn the midnight oil. Good. Now, this expression literally just means to work late into the night or to stay up late working or studying, right? You're working late into the night. And the way you can remember this is, now we have lights, right? We have technology. We have the internet. We have electricity. But many years ago, when electricity was not a factor, people would use lamps. So if you had to stay up late at night, you would use a lamp to see. And many times people had gas lamps or oil lamps. So they would have to pour the oil to keep that fire burning late into the night. I see it. You see it, right? I know you understand. So again, burn the midnight oil just means you have to work late into the night. You got it? Excellent. All right. Here's the first example sentence. He had to burn the midnight oil to finish the project before the deadline. Next, sentence number 2. During exam week, students often burn the midnight oil to prepare. And finally, sentence number 3. The writer burned the midnight oil to complete her novel. Yes, it's making sense. Excellent. So again, expression number 6 is burn the midnight oil. Now, what about expression number 7? This one right here, I want you to pay close attention. Burn bridges. Excellent. Again, burn bridges. Good job. Now, this literally just means to damage relationships or cut off connections, usually in a way that is irreversible. It can't be changed. You can't go back to the way you used to be. We say burn bridges. There was a connection between you and this person, between you and this company. Everything was going well, but you cut that connection. You burned that bridge. There's no way to go back and make that connection. Burn bridges. Again, to damage relationships or cut off connections. Check out these example sentences. Sentence number 1. She regretted burning bridges with her former colleagues after leaving on bad terms. Sentence number 2. Quitting her job by yelling at the boss burned bridges for future references. And finally, sentence number 3. It's never a good idea to burn bridges, as you never know when you might need help. You got it? Excellent. So once again, you learned 7 new English expressions. I want you to start using them today. Don't forget to practice what you learned by downloading the English with Tiffany app. And I will talk to you in the next lesson. You still there? You know what time it is. It's story time. Hey, I said it's story time. All right. So for today's story, I have a short one for you today. So just to tell you a little bit about me, I am an individual who loves to help people. I love to serve. I love to meet people's needs, which is again why I am so passionate about being your English teacher, right? I love to give. I love to recognize where there's a need and try to fill it. But I am also an individual who has a challenging time asking for help. I'm okay giving help. I'm okay helping others, but it takes a lot for me to ask for help. My friends and family members that I have that are very close to me, it's taken a while for me to actually be willing to ask for help because I'm so used to giving help. So about 2 months ago, I got really sick. It was hard for me to talk. I just wanted to be in the bed. We thought it was COVID, but it wasn't COVID when I went to the doctor. I was not really eating a lot. I was just very sick. It seemed like the flu. It seemed like COVID. The doctors didn't know what it was. And in that moment, so when my parents a month prior had been sick, I made them soup and took it over to them. Now, I'm okay asking my family members for help, but it takes a while for me to ask my friends. And so one of my friends, as I was in this period of sickness, you know, I was still texting my friends. She had messaged me and said, "Tiff, are you okay?" Because we usually hung out. I said, "Well, I'm not really feeling well. I'm kind of sick. I'm not really working. I'm just kind of staying in the bed." And she was like, "Do you need anything?" And my initial response was, "No, I'm okay. I'm good." And she said, "No, Tiff, like really, do you need anything? I can bring you some soup. I can do this." And in that moment, I had to stop and say, "Tiff, it's okay to accept help. It's okay if someone wants to also serve you. I'm so used to serving, it's a little bit weird for me to receive the same service." So I said, "I did want soup, y'all. I did. I needed nourishment and I didn't have the energy to make it for myself." So I said, "Yeah, actually, yes." She said, "What else do you need, Tiff?" And again, I was hesitating. I was like, I don't like asking for help. And maybe you're like that as well. Maybe you're the one who likes to give, but it's hard to receive. I said, "Well, I guess some juice and maybe crackers, you know, things that you can eat when you're sick that won't harm your stomach." So she bought these things and immediately came over. And something happened inside when I realized, wow, like, it's okay to let people in and to let people help you and to serve you. Even if you're the one used to serving, let other people help you and serve you as well. So needless to say, as a friend in my head, I said, wow, like she's really a good friend. Like she really cares, right? So yes, we're still close, of course. But again, in that moment, I realized, hey, let me open up even more to allow people to help me and serve me when they look forward to doing something nice for me as well. So maybe this is your story as well. Maybe you are the one in your friend group or in your family who's used to serving others. Just remember the same joy you get from serving your family and friends, somebody else can also have the same joy when they serve you. I hope you enjoy this story, and I'll talk to you next time.